We are back in Acts chapter number 26 as we just look at some things to help us to understand our theme this year, which is being disciples, making disciples. We have always been a church that has been a church that's into outreach, reaching our community, being a part of our community, taking the good news of the gospel to those that don't know it, and so we've been good at that and helping others. But I want us to understand and comprehend the other part of it, and really what we're focusing a little bit on, particularly the beginning of this year, which is being a disciple, which is allowing God to work in our lives. We cannot be of any help or use to anybody in a positive way, particularly really a spiritual way, unless God is doing something in our lives. We can't be a good, positive impact, spiritual impact in our marriages if we are not spiritual. We cannot have a good, godly spiritual impact on our children if we are not spiritual. And as a church, we cannot impact and encourage one another, as the Bible tells us to in Hebrews, if we are not growing in disciples and being spiritual. And that leads us to the last part, which we can't make a difference in our community if we're not being spiritual. We're not just trying to get people here because, you know, it's a social club. I don't have time for social club. If I want to do social things, I want to do them with the church. And so that we're not just, it's a spiritual thing. And one of the reasons sometimes we struggle to enjoy church is because we're not as interested in spiritual things as we should be. Church is a spiritual thing. And so, you have some of that or you wouldn't be here this morning. And so thank you for that. But I want us to fulfill God's purpose or mission for our church, which is to reach this world. That's why we had our missions conference. But that starts here. And it starts by us being strong in our faith. That's one of the reasons this year we're starting the Bible Institute. I just want to have a little something for those of us here in the church that we can just, you know what, I don't want to be just satisfied with where I'm at as a Christian. I really want to grow. I really want to be strong in my faith, and that's just something we can do to help with that, and I encourage you to be a part of that. Our theme verse is John 15:5. We will get to that in a few weeks. We'll have a couple messages from there, but Jesus said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth me, in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If you're a Christian this morning, God wants you to be, the biblical picture is a fruitful Christian. Good things are happening. Healthy. And all of that happens as we have our relationship, as Jesus said, he's the vine, we're the branches, as we have that relationship with him. Abiding in him. You know what that is? That's being a disciple. And so what we're doing at the beginning of the year, we're just talking about some things that'll help us to understand that concept, that biblical principle, and encourage us and strengthen us to actually do it. And we've been looking here in Acts chapter 26. One of the greatest things I like about Christianity is that it changes lives. That's it. Other than the fact that it changes our eternity, it changes our life on this earth. It changes who we are now, and God wants to change us. Maybe we in our life we try to change things sometimes, and we struggle with things, particularly when they're a moral or spiritual nature. But when we're saved, we have God's Spirit in our life, and He can make us brand new. I want us to notice a little bit of that this morning. Once we are saved, God doesn't want us to be the same. As someone has said, if you become a Christian, that doesn't mean you're sinless, but it means that you should sin less because God works in our life. And it's only as we allow God to work in our life and change our life that we have the capability to help others, starting in our own family and reaching outward. As a reminder of this story, if you weren't here a couple weeks ago when we were preaching through this, this chapter is Paul's defense between King Agrippa and Festus. The Romans had rule at that time of Israel, and the Jewish leaders did not like Jesus Christ and his disciples and what they were teaching, Christianity. And so they were seeking to wipe it out and get rid of it. And Paul here, he gives a story, his testimony about how he met Jesus Christ and he got saved and his life was changed. Well, immediately, the one who used to be a persecutor of Christians, the one who was religious on the other side, now is completely changed and now he's for Christianity. And so the Jews are after him. And they would try to get the Romans to condemn them, and it was a back and forth. You know, it was Jewish religious law. It was not Roman law if they weren't, you know, setting up insurrection. So it was constantly going back and forth. Paul's arrested. It's nothing but drama. But whenever Paul got to talk to one of the leaders, the Roman leaders, or those that were put in charge by the Romans, he always gave his testimony. And he used it as an opportunity to teach and share what happened to him. And that's what this story is telling. He is telling King Agrippa, and Festus was there, about what happened to him. But in this story, he shares that when God saved him, he didn't just save him so he can go to heaven. He had a vision for his life. God immediately said, I got something I want you to do. And that's what Paul did. He took off and started reaching others and following the Lord. Verse 19 is the key verse there, if you'll look at it. He goes, whereupon, O King Agrippa, the things that we'll look at this morning, the things that God told him, he goes, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He not only accepted Christ as his Savior, he decided to follow him from that day forward and to fulfill everything that God wanted him to fulfill in his life. And by the way, that's a good thing for all of us. That ought to be the first thing once we get saved. We ought to be thinking, Lord, now that I'm saved, what do you want me to do? And by the way, it's a process. We learn those things. You learn it by getting into the scriptures and reading the Word of God and being at church and hearing it taught and learning things and being open to whatever God has for us. By the way, that ought to be the norm for Christians. It ought to be the norm, like Paul that said, he heard it right away when he got saved and goes, you know what? I'm going for it and I'm going to do exactly what God wants me to do. We fight so many things to do that. Now, with the theme this morning about God changing lives, I want us to see in the vision and in the verses here two key elements that can change people and that can change us. Look at verse 18. God tells him this. Look at verse 17. He goes, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, who were after him, trying to cause trouble. He goes, into whom now I send thee. He goes, you're going to be delivered from them, but I'm sending you to them for a reason, to help them. Here's how it was going to work. Verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in thee. There's two elements he presents in here that can help change lives. And we see it in his vision. First of all, I want you to notice the vision has power. The vision has power. We are not asked to do anything for God. We are not asked to do anything in our lives by ourselves, because we can't. If we're trying to accomplish spiritual things, if we're trying to have spiritual results in our lives, we can't do it in our own power. I mentioned before, I won't be specific, but there were things in my life before I was a Christian I didn't like, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to clean that up. And you know what? I couldn't do it. I struggled. But once I got right with God and said, Lord, I'm in on this thing, and I just started following him, those things just started to go away one by one. Things I couldn't tackle before myself, now I started to get, you could say, victory over. Why? Because I wasn't doing it on my own. God was giving me the power to do that. Sometimes people say Christianity is hard. And I'll in a sense it is. And in a sense, really, it's impossible if you're trying to do it yourself. But when we're saved, God's power helps us and changes us. We do not even have in ourselves what it takes to help other people, let alone ourselves, if we don't have God's power. But you know, I like what God's power can overcome. He mentions three things here. Look at verse 18 again. To open their eyes. Do you know the vision has power? It gives us power over being blind. By the way, let me say this. Before you were a Christian, and before I was a Christian, I was spiritually blind. I didn't have the Spirit of God. I didn't have Jesus Christ. How could I even decipher or understand what spiritual things were? I was completely blind to them. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, but the natural man, unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit, which would be spiritual things, spiritual living, Word of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We can't see it. We're blind to the things of God. We see the things of God, it says, as it said there, as foolishness, and yet we're so blind, we see the things that are wrong as being right. You don't have to be very, you don't have to, if your head's not in the sand, you don't have to understand what's going on in our society, in our country. Things that are wrong are promoted as right, and things that are right as are promoted as wrong. You want an example? Thought you might ask. There's the Super Bowl. You know, the big thing is the commercials. There was a pro-life group. They wanted to put a commercial on. It wasn't offensive. It was just someone sharing the story about how the mom was going to abort him, and she changed her mind, and he was thankful he was alive. They decided they wouldn't play that because that's offensive. But yet they're going to play a commercial of two drag queens targeted towards children. And that's okay. That's not offensive. Our society takes things that God says are wrong and says they're right. Getting a little quiet here, and says what, and we take things that and then we flip it the opposite. We want to take things that are wrong and say they're right. It doesn't work that way. Why is it that it's so hard for society to understand that you are either a male or a female based on how you were born, and you can't change that? That's just common sense. And I'm not trying to be mean towards those that struggle with things like that, because they can get help. But the problem is, how come we can't see it now? Because we're blind. If we don't know Jesus Christ, we're going to fall for things that are silly and wrong because we're blind. The same thing is true in our life. We struggle with things in our life. We have problems in our life because we're blind. Do you know the power of God gives us illumination to see things as they really are? There were things I believed before I knew Christ that I no longer believe. I was so spiritually unaware of my position and how wrong my life was. We fall for so many false, non-biblical philosophies in our life. You know why? Because we just are blind. But God's power gives us victory over that. Secondly, it gives us power over being backwards. He says, to turn thee from darkness to light. There's a turnaround there. We were in the darkness, and now we're going to turn, and we're going to head towards the light. By the way, we do need to turn. Because when you walk in the darkness, usually have issues. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I'm sure there, all of us at one time or another have woken up in the middle of the night, we've went to get water or use the restroom, we don't turn the light on, and you ran into something. How many of you ever done that, right? That is painful, okay? You clip the side of the bed, it's like, ugh. Well, why did you do that? You couldn't see. You were in darkness. He says we can turn our life around. Turning to following God, not only it changes our direction, it changes our direction because it changes our illumination. Now we're turned and now our eyes are open and we're no longer going towards the light. We turn to the darkness. We now want to go towards the light. The things that we did not like, that we did not enjoy, now we do like and we do enjoy. The desires that we had were not right. We now have desires for the right things. I could care less about the Bible before I met Christ. Now the Bible is very important to me. I could care very less about being a decent individual or doing the right thing. But once I got saved and I go towards the light, I want to do those things. And it's a shame when somebody who knows Jesus Christ has more interest in darkness than they do in light. He gives us power to overcome that. We don't have to continue in the way that we are. Someone, you know how people say, you got to change your life. Well, you can. You know how you change your life? You got to change the direction you're heading. There's got to be a radical alter. Yeah. And that comes through God's power. Now, let me say this. We've got to be willing. And if we are willing to change our life and follow the light and go a different direction, God's power will enable us to go that way, but we have to be. You know, God doesn't force us to do anything. If we want to continue in the path that we're going down and all the drama that comes with it, that's on us. But if we want something different and we're willing to follow God and go the right direction, He will help us to get there and we'll avoid all the drama. And I understand drama and consequences and all that stuff, it's just a part of life. But most of the problems we have, most of the drama we have, most of the consequences we suffer are because of bad decisions. We follow darkness rather than light. And then we wonder why things aren't going well. Listen, God illuminates us so that we not only know what's right, we follow that which is right. Sometimes we look at how far we have to travel. Say, man, I'm messed up in my life. I've got issues. I've got things going on. God doesn't expect you to get to the end in a day. God wants you to go the right direction. You get on the path and you start heading down that way and things get better and better. But we have to be willing to change. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The more we follow God, the more we're committed to Him, the more we go on the path, the brighter things get. Yeah. The more we see, gives us power also over being bound. And from the power of God unto Satan. Now let's not, Satan isn't some guy in a red suit with a pitchfork and he smells like smoke. That's not Satan. He is a spiritual enemy. And a lot of times we follow his direction in our life unwillingly and we're bound in sin. By the way, whenever you're disobeying God and sinning, that is binding. It's actually a form of spiritual slavery. Satan wants you. Here's what Satan wants. Satan wants us to do our own thing. That's it. Adam and Eve. You eat the fruit, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Deciding. That's what God wants. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to, that's not what God wants. He wants you to be your own God, your own decision maker. That's what he wants for your life. Right. Now, here is the sad thing about that. Whenever we do that, we think we're free, right? You hear it all in our society. Got to be true to myself. What does that mean? Huh? I got to keep it real. But what does that mean? That means that you are giving excuse for you to do what you want. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to keep it real. If I get upset, you know, I get a little angry, like, I'm going to lash out. That's keeping it real. That's just being me. It could just be I'm being a jerk. Because that is me if I'm doing that. I don't want to do the things that I naturally want to do. You know what I want to do? I want to do the things that God wants me to do, and those things are supernatural. Yeah. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. I don't want any of those. That's not me. I don't want to be long-suffering. I want it done now. Okay? I don't want patience. I'm in a hurry. Kindness? It's for sissies. That's what we think, right? Listen, that's not natural. So how do we get loose from that? Spirit of God does that in our life.
Right.
Let's not buy that lie. Oh, I'm just doing what I want to do. That is bondage. That leads to bondage. Yeah. Jesus said this in John 8:34. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." You're a slave to it. Now, we call it different things in our society, don't we? We call it an illness. It's not an illness. If I walk by someone who's a thief, I don't catch being a thief. It's not an illness. Okay, it's not a weakness. We have an RU. We call it an addictions program, but let's just be real honest with you. It's not an addictions program. It is. That's what we call it. It's a being bound program. That's what addictions are. You're bound to something. And it's hard. And I'm not making light of it. It is hard. You know why? Sin's addictive. Okay? Whether it's alcohol, drugs, pornography, you name it. It's addictive. Sin's always addictive. How do we break those chains and we get free? The power of God. When we allow God to work in his life and we get into his word and we allow him to do things, God has the power to break the chains of those sins. You may be new here and you look around and say, oh, this crowd, this looks like a church crowd. I could get up here and I could call people out. I could say that person had this issue in their life before they were a Christian. That person had this issue in their life before they were a Christian. You may look good now, but I know that how you used to be.
Oh yeah.
And you could call me out. How did we get free, power of God? You don't have to settle for where you're at.
Right.
You don't. So it has power. And then lastly, in the last couple minutes I have, it has potential. It has potential. This is the flip side. Look at verse 18 again. That they may receive forgiveness of God. What's the potential? We get it by receiving mercy. God doesn't have to forgive us, but God does. And what happens when we're forgiven? We are forgiven not just for the commission of our sin, but from all that's coming with it on an eternal side. God says, it's over. I'm not gonna give you that which you actually deserve.
Amen.
By the way, you know what all of us deserve? We don't like to hear this, but we don't deserve hell. We do.
Absolutely.
We're sinners. We're rebels to God. But thank God Jesus died so we don't have to do that. That's all because of God's mercy. God's merciful to us. By the way, there's just something really, really powerful about that word. Forgiveness.
Yes.
Right? Forgiveness. It's done. The debt's paid. The transition's over. The relationship's restored. The guilt, it's gone. The burden from carrying that with us is gone. Forgiveness. There may be sometimes people have an issue and they try to get it together and they just can't and there's no forgiveness given. But let me just tell you something. You can always get forgiveness from God.
Amen.
Forgiveness. And then grace. Like this. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. If mercy is not giving us what we deserve, grace is giving us what we do not deserve. An inheritance. Why would we get an inheritance? because we are now a part of God's family. But there's something else attached to that grace I'll mention and we'll be done. By inheritance among them which are, what's that word there? Sanctified. You know what grace sanctified means? Set apart. Holy. More like Christ. See, God's grace helps us and gives us the power to do the things we're supposed to do, to change in our life. God didn't just say, you know, my grace is only limited to your eternal address, right? I saved you, now you don't have to go to hell, you can go to heaven. And there, that's all the grace you get. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
God's grace works on this. You know, God's grace overcomes every aspect of sin.
Yep.
Not just the penalty of sin, but the power of sin over a life. That's where sanctification comes in. You never, look, too many Christians, far too many Christians live a subpar Christian life. They don't get everything that God has for them. They don't get everything of God's working in their life because they don't understand His grace. God's grace wants to give us a lot more than we currently possess. God doesn't want us just to be a Christian because we've been saved. God wants us to be a Christian in our actions. And we receive the blessings that come with that.
Yeah.
What's the point today? Today is we can be different. God has the power and potential to make us more than we ever thought we can be. Let's not settle in with where we're at. Let's not. Sometimes people, they come as a Christian, they'll come for a year or two, and then they kind of settle. I don't want to settle into my Christianity. I don't. I don't want to plateau. Okay, well, I read the Bible through, got it all down, I'm done. You're never going to have the book down. I handed out the tract to somebody one time, I'm good. I put a dollar in the offer, I did this or I did that. Listen, let's not be content with where we're at. God has greater things for us.
Amen.
And we're not doing it in our arm. God works in our life. Let me ask you today, is God working in your life? I didn't ask if you're perfect. I didn't ask where you are on the scale. I didn't ask if you turn from darkness and you're heading towards the light, how far you are down there. I'm asking, is He working? Are you making progress? If you're making progress, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do it on your own. Let's all stand together.